listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Got a 2-0 count here as he hits one high. He hits one deep. Alex Bregman for the second straight game makes it 2-0.
The Astros are referring to it as big dad energy since Alex just had a child with his wife, Bregman. Love the play on words
it's
there.
It's BDE, but it's a BDE. Different kind of BDE.
Great weekend for the Astros as they sweep the team that seemed to be their Achilles heel for a while, oddly enough, the Oakland A's. Great stuff this weekend, and the best storyline, I think, came on Saturday with the return of Lance McCullers Jr., 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, and 5 strikeouts. He had shutout innings. He looked like his command was great. I think really important. His confidence was great. And I got to tell you guys, I was expecting a little bit of rust. I was, and I did not see it.
Yeah, he looked pretty damn good. And look, it's Oakland. But hey, Oakland's giving you problem this year a lot. So to see him out like that, very encouraging. You would hope that things would look this good after all that time away. You mentioned rust. I'm just thinking to myself, man, it's been such a long time.
It's been 10 months.
I don't even remember what it looks like when Lance McCullers is on the mound. Is Lance McCullers Sean Mapes behind the glass? Like, I still don't really know. So that was nice to see. Also very cool to see, and this was written about yesterday, but there were several members of Uvalde who were at the pregame event for the Astros game yesterday, and a little girl asked Alex Bregman to go yard, and there you go. So you have Bregman going yards. So that's
one
nice
of the coaches gave
moment.
Dusty Baker a Uvalde hat too. So that was
really
cool to see them host those guys and gals and so bring a little some smiles to that community.
Seriously, yeah, that's absolutely horrible what they've all had to go through. And they've won 4 in a row, 2.5 games up on New York and the AL standings, 13 games up on the Mariners and the AL West. Things are cruising. I do got to say, though, I am more mad coming out of the weekend than I am happy about the return, Vanessa, of Lance McCullers, because
overshadowed.
Yeah, the Brantley out for the year, it's official news, was quite the weekend news dump. And look, we've been getting on Dusty Baker's case for bizarre lineup management all year long, his entire time here with the Astros. At the same time, what is Dusty supposed to do when the Astros probably knew what was going on here, the full extent of the Brantley injury, and were unable to do anything about it at the trade deadline? What was the most important thing for the Astros to get at the deadline? I think it was to find somebody that can take Yuli Gurriel out of your needing him every single day in the lineup, and it was to find a lefty reliever, and it was to find outfield depth. And you got no outfield depth, and you're putting Trey Mancini in left field, and you're putting Aledmys Diaz in left field, and you're putting Yordan Alvarez in left field. Like, that's been an all-year problem. Brantley injures his shoulder. It's probably not going to be good when he's 35 years old, and you did nothing. So major L for James Click, and if they ultimately don't win the World Series, I think this is what we're going to be pointing to.
Let's overreact a little bit. How do you feel about their playoff chances, knowing, yes, Lance is back, which I think is dynamite, if they can have him and Lance McCullers Jr., but got to have some defense and you got to have some bats going.
I'm feeling great about the pitching. I really am. But sometimes, as we have seen in the past with this Astros dreadnought of a lineup, they have games where they just don't show up. That's natural, I think, for a lot of teams across baseball. But more likely to happen these days where the Astros lineup isn't quite what it was a couple of years ago.
I have a question for both of you. What do Elton John and Deshaun Watson have in common?
What's that?
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
There we go.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Took a while, but we finally did hear an apology from Deshaun Watson, who caught up with Aditi Kinkabwala before the Browns preseason game. Here's Deshaun.
I have to ask you, the initial ruling from Judge Sue Robinson made a very specific point of saying that your lack of remorse played into her decision-making. It's been a part of the narrative surrounding you. What is your response to that?
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back. But I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I want to keep pushing forward.
Grow and learn. We fully expect that there will be some time that you are away from the team. What is your growth on a personal level look like? How are you spending that time?
I know I have a lot of work to put in, especially on the field, to be able to make sure I'm ready to play whenever that time comes, whenever I can step back on the field. But also, the biggest thing is I want to continue counseling, and I want to make sure that I'm growing as a person, as an individual, for my decision-making on and off the field. And I want to make sure that, you know, I'm just evolving in the community as much as possible. And that's for the Cleveland community, that's the NFL community, and beyond.
Okay. We appreciate the time, DeShaun.
Thank you.
So I think Aditi did a great job. I mean, she's a pro of asking
position to be put in,
really open-ended questions. What were your thoughts on his apology? Sincere, unsincere?
This is trash. This is absolute trash. This is the same guy who said, I never assaulted, disrespected, or harassed anyone over and over and over again. Oh, now you changed your mind when you realize that you're probably going to get suspended for 8 games. Maybe this is going to help with old Harvey, Roger Goodell's right-hand man, maybe giving me less than a full season-long suspension. It's weak, it's pathetic, and that's it. He's asked about it after the game against the Jaguars, didn't comment on it. The only time he was willing to do something uncomfortable was in that spot right there with one reporter in a controlled atmosphere.
National
where I'm
television.
Sure they could have done this on multiple takes too. You know, this was pathetic. And to go from where he was to where he is now, I mean, I feel like you have to suspend him. He's finally admitting what he was doing. So he was showing no remorse and kind of lying up until this point in time.
One of the, and I hate to use the word fascinating, but one of the fascinating things when we look back on this situation with Deshaun Watson isn't just that it was unprecedented, it's how it was handled. If you remember, go back to the very beginning when there was one allegation, the night of that, he issued a statement. He then hires Rusty Hardin, and Rusty says, you will not speak again, basically. And then apparently the method that he and Rusty and I assume David Mulugeta came to conclusion was to deny, deny, deny. No, you're not going to apologize because we're going to stick with the fact that everything was consensual. No, you're not going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Look, Rusty Hardin's an OG. David Mulugeta got him more money than God, but that was a mistake because the fact that he didn't show remorse. Michael Vick showed remorse. Like other people that have done things that are bad, and I know it's not apples to apples, they show remorse. At the very least, Deshaun Watson made women wildly uncomfortable. And he apologized for that via text. So and Instagram DM. I mean, we've seen that. That is public record. So I just think one of the fascinating things when we look back on this, guys, is the timeline of when everything happened and why over a year later we're hearing an apology for the first time.
Right. But nothing specific.
Right.
No clarifications. Very vague. Intentionally, of course. And then talking about how he's working on himself, that part was the worst because it's just insert the live, laugh, love saying of the day and just put it right there and then stack another one on top of it and another one on top of it. When again, you came out strong saying, I never disrespected or sexually assaulted any woman. And then say, I'll talk about this down the road. And this is the closest thing that you've done to talking about this down the road. You're just full of it.
Also, I mean, the radio audience couldn't see it, but the video of it is like so clearly it is a forced apology. He doesn't look at the camera once. It's obviously right before he gets on the team bus to go to the game. And then his hands don't leave his pockets at any time during the minute-long clip.
Yeah, the body language is very awkward. There were a lot of preseason storylines, and there are a lot of preseason storylines regarding players, teams, what we're going to see from who. So coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're taking you around the NFL with our favorite players to watch, our favorite storylines to watch. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I watched a four-hour documentary on Tom Petty yesterday.
4 hours?
Yeah. I thought, okay, 4 hours is a long time. But when you really like something, like actually, like you could watch a four-hour documentary about the Patriots, no problem.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so yes. It sounds aggressive.
Could
but
be about like a season they didn't even win a Super Bowl.
Correct.
Still
so
watch
I was
it.
Like eating it up and absolutely loved it. It got me through the plane trip from Vegas back here.
Petty 4 hours, definitely better than Derek Jeter 7+ hours.
I don't even know. I guess if you're a Yankees fan, I get how you want to watch that. But like,
even then,
there's no part of me that's like, this guy's interesting enough. Like, at least with Tom Petty, okay, you might not be the biggest Tom Petty fan, but this is like,
I like
sex,
Petty a lot.
Drugs. Oh, you do?
I like Petty a lot.
I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. So this is like sex, drugs, rock and roll.
He had an interesting life.
Interpersonal
interesting
relationships. Yeah, I mean,
right, Stevie Nicks, right?
Stevie Nicks is in it. Stevie Nicks, they were more bandmates than, she was like basically one of the honorary members, but she's interviewed. And then it just takes you through like the history of music. It was called Running Down a Dream. It came out in 2007, produced by Peter Bogdanovich.
Oh, wow. An old
very, okay. Very, very good.
Did you see that HBO show that was on a couple of years ago? It was about this one guy who has been involved with like all sorts of just completely different musicians. So there was like a Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty part.
I need to see this.
There was a Dr. Dre part. Yeah, I forget
Jimmy Iovine.
I think so.
It was like the producer that started Beats by Dre with Dr. Dre.
I think so. I think it came out in like 2018. It was very good.
I love a good documentary. Send me all of your documentary recommendations. But until then, we'll continue to watch preseason games. And we did so over the weekend. A lot of content to talk about. The preseason is difficult to care about because I was trying to break down like this Vikings Raiders game, and I'm like, I am breaking down Stidham versus Mond. Like,
I want to hear that breakdown.
Let's
though.
Be serious. There's not much to break
I
down.
I want to hear all of it.
But I did think we could go around and talk about some of the players and storylines that we are excited to see and watch throughout the regular season. I'll start with mine. We've talked a little bit about this, and you are our resident Tua non-fan. I think this is the year that the training wheels come off for Tua, and I'm excited to see how the Dolphins handle him. He's got a new OC, got a new head coach, got Tyreek. And I think the excuses are over for Tua after this season. So that's number one for me. Number two, of course, is Carson Wentz. And it's hard because I like his offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, and I want Scott to get a head coaching job.
Fail.
So I need Scott to do well somehow, but Carson Wentz not to do well.
So you need the offense to be really good, but ultimately the quarterback to hold them back.
Yes.
So you need the last year's Colts.
I feel like this is your number one sports enemy, is Carson
number
Wentz.
Number one.
Which is really interesting. It's because he was your quarterback for 1 year. Was it that bad?
Yeah, it was. It was traumatizing.
It might be your number
he's
one.
He's my most recent.
So he's my Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, my number one was Tom Brady.
Well,
make
yeah.
no mistake.
But that makes sense.
Would you say your number one rooting interest in sports right now is anti Carson Wentz?
I think
NFL,
it definitely is.
Yeah, yeah.
More than pro anything, it's anti Carson Wentz.
You make me sound so negative. My third one is the Saints.
You're doing
guys.
A show with me. I rubbed off on you.
I'm excited to see. I don't know if excited was the right word there. I'm intrigued to see what the Saints look like. We didn't really see it with the preseason game, but just how they're going to adjust. It's of great interest in this area because there are a lot of New Orleans fans, of course, who moved here after Hurricane Katrina. So I know we have a lot of Saints fans that listen to us. I'm intrigued to see what the Saints become and which version of Jameis we're going to see if we see him at all.
Okay. I have some. These are less football because I was like, I want to go with themes that are taking place
okay.
in the preseason.
Sure.
I want to see how many teams have just absolute dumpster fire World War I war torn fields. The only thing missing is mustard gas because we saw it for the Bears game. I guess there was an Elton John concert that took place
yes.
at that dump of a stadium, and the grass was all over the place. Which is bad because it's, you know, August. You would think that this would be the one time of year where the grass in Chicago is going to be okay. We'll, of course, see it this year at Washington's stadium because their stadium is always a mess. But surprisingly bad one that we saw, and this was in Vegas, the Raiders stadium, there was a soccer game there, and the soccer folks, they decided to put extra water on the field so that the ball, I guess, would move a little bit more quickly. Am I right on that, Sean?
Yeah,
I don't
somebody
know
that knows anything.
Generally, they keep the field pretty wet because the ball has to roll.
Okay.
Because it helps it with the track.
So they like keeping the field
Did they
wet
not think that through?
And moist. Got it.
Don't say that.
It's a lubed up field. They treated it before.
Soaking wet.
Soaking wet, slippery, just. God. Yeah. So anyway, this field, it was a disaster. And they can actually roll this field outside of Allegiant Stadium so that it's not like this during a game. And I guess they didn't. And I always think it's hilarious when stadiums that like think they've come up with these like really novel contraptions
scheduling,
to have grass inside when it is a disaster. We've seen it with the Cardinals before. Remember when the Texans had pallets? The Texans used to have like...
Didn't guys get injured?
Yes! Jadeveon Clowney's like first play as a Texan. He stepped in one of them. And after the game, DJ Swearinger, who was Will Grubb and my go-to hey, you want to confirm something? Let's talk to Mr. Loose Lips, because DJ Swearinger would tell you all the state secrets every single time. And he was like, yeah, oh yeah, Cloudy got his foot caught in a divot. And we were like, damn. So yeah.
Didn't also Wes Welker like get his ACL torn in like a meaningless week 17
he did
game?
At NRG Stadium. Yeah. I remember that. Yes. Brett, the punter. Was it Brett Hartman?
Scott Hartman?
If you ever see the videos of stadiums / field houses that host multiple events, so Toyota Center, Bankers Life in Indianapolis, or NRG here, they've done soccer as well. The transformation videos, I don't know if you guys have ever seen them where they'll do the 1 minute. I think they're really, really cool. But everything has to be planned out properly. If you have Disney on Ice one night, and then a soccer game the next night, and then a football game the next night, like that needs to be planned for.
Yeah, it's hard. And I'm not acting like that would be easy.
But you would
to
think
do,
that billion-dollar investment.
The football should be the priority, because generally that's generally who owns the actual stadium. You know, yes, there are concerts that are just as important that take place there. And it must be weird because Vegas is such a, you know, different city compared to anywhere else where right. It's like adult Disney World.
Good observations. Sean, do you have any from around the league that don't have anything to do with the Texans?
The only observation I had was, it was the Colts-Buffalo game. It was Sam Ehlinger for the Colts.
Your guy.
Think second or third string quarterback. I'm actually not sure where he's
third.
Stands.
I think.
sick. Awesome. Maybe he's going to be second after he goes 10 for 11, 88 yards, two touchdowns, 24 yards on the ground, and a lot of scrambling, made some plays happen with his feet. So, hey, that's literally the only preseason football I consumed.
Sam Ehlinger?
Because my entire timeline was covered with Sam Ehlinger.
Got that dog in him?
Oh, 1,000%. Almost to the detriment of him being a good quarterback. He's more dog than quarterback.
He should be in instead of Matt Ryan. 100%.
Hey, TBD.
Or at least whoever the second stringer is. Come on.
Who is the second string?
Nick Foles.
That's right! That was my favorite part of watching the preseason football when we were at the Circa Pool. Was like, oh, that quarterback's still in the NFL. Nathan Peterman somehow has a job. Good for him. It's great. There's a bunch of just rando quarterbacks that I didn't even know were in the league. Like Case Keenum's on the Bills. Oh, yeah. Forgot about him.
Nick Foles. We're still doing that. Nick Foles, come on.
I think I saw
That's football nepotism. That's the only reason he has that job.
I saw Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian, remember him?
Yes.
I thought I saw Chase Daniel for a second. I was like, that son of a bitch. He's still in the league.
He's on the Chargers.
Chase Daniel's still in the league?
I'm 90% sure he's
what?
On the Chargers. Still.
It's incredible.
Kenny Pickett have that dog in him?
He looked all right.
Looked very good.
Looked all right. Now, he was going in third in a preseason game behind not just Mitchell Trubisky, but also Mason Rudolph. So I would hope that he would look good being a first-round pick.
True.
That's a third-string quarterback on a team that doesn't have a good one.
True. All good points. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we got a little AP action for college football. Plus, we'll play a quick round of big deal or no big deal. But first, Paul's going to tell you about his friends at PIN.
The Passive Investor Network.
folks, look, we're all looking to make money, and one of the ways you can make money is investing in real estate. But I don't know, maybe you're like me and you're like, this is way too much for me. I don't know what I'm doing. Well, Penn is a full-service real estate investment firm. They sit down with you and personalize a five-year plan. It's just you and a portfolio advisor. You tell them your long-term goals. They'll tell you how they can help you reach them. Then that's it. Like, once you have the conversation, they take care of the rest. They do the hard part of finding areas of town and houses to invest in. They do the construction for you. They got 20 years plus of experience in fixing these houses, and you get daily updates with pictures in the app of your property every single day. Once the construction's done, they find the tenants for you, and they do the property management too. They do the whole thing for you. You own the house. They do the hard work and take the headache out of the investment process so that you can make money passively to achieve those long-term goals. Visit their website today, passiveinvestor.net. Again, passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. Again, passiveinvestor.net. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa Richardson, my voice sounds excellent. Whoa. After a trip in Vegas. Whoa. That was aggressively bad. That's Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass as always. Gentlemen, can I interest you in an AP poll top 10 from college football?
I want you to keep just fight through the fight through the voice problems right now.
Alabama comes in at number one. Number two is Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame. At number six, we have the Aggies, Utah at seven, Michigan at eight, Oklahoma at nine, Baylor at 10.
Well, hopefully I don't run into that Baylor fan that I ran into at Chili's that one time who, when we
were
talking,
another fight story?
No, this person didn't want to engage us because we all pounced on him. We were talking about Alabama. The guy goes, hey, were you talking about Alabama? And we said, yes. He responded, well, I went to Baylor. And we all immediately pounced on him saying, nobody cares. This is the most Baylor thing that's ever happened. And he sheepishly left the Chili's afterwards. The Aggies at six. I feel like that's where they should be placing themselves as far as expectations. And the conversations I've had with friends who are Aggie fans, they all seem to have in the back of their mind that they're going to be an 8 or a 9 win team. And in the SEC West, you can understand why maybe that's the mentality going in. But I do think that this is the year where they should really hold themselves accountable to the standard that they've now created for themselves over the last couple of years. And obviously the great recruiting class they just had, okay, maybe you're not going to see the results of that as much as you would like until next season, but I they deserve that number six ranking, I think. And we'll see what happens this year. But conceptually, they are a wagon.
Are we always going to see Alabama at number one? I mean, when is this train going to stop rolling of Alabama being at number one? By the way, guys, LSU not ranked. The last time that happened, the year 2000. Thoughts on LSU having been a national championship, national champion 3 years ago with Joe Burrow, and then not even being in the preseason poll anymore?
I mean, life comes at you fast, and if you just take a look at the history of LSU football too, I mean, they have had long stretches where they haven't been, you know, what you've seen from them over the last 20 years. I mean, too, to also see it kind of fall apart, there's a lot of questions about, like, hey, like, Ed Orgeron and his focus during those years. I mean, once you win the title.
Apparently a lot of women.
Yeah.
The focus.
And, I mean, you have that 2019 team, which he did. I can see how you maybe get a little happy and rest on your laurels a little bit. And it's the last thing you do in a conference that also features Alabama. And Nick Saban is going to make you pay for every single miss. I mean, he classified last year as a rebuilding season. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, what a flex. But it's accurate. And I think now, like, clearly, yeah, LSU's an afterthought. Will that last? You get some incredible athletes out of Louisiana. But it is hard to imagine them making up
on all the ground that Alabama has already created again, and that even Texas A&M have made over the last couple of years.
Aggies are great recruiters. They have a huge athletic budget, and Jimbo Fisher has walked the walk, so now they need to talk the talk. It's weird only having, I guess there's two Texas schools in here. Baylor is on there as well, and then, of course, you have A&M, like we just said. Sean, when is UT going to be on this list? Is it going to be the Arch Manning era, the top 10?
Well, as far as preseason?
Next year, they'll probably.
If they go 7-5, they'll be ranked like 12th in the preseason.
I know, my God. Like,
that's the most damning part of the Texas football season last year, is that, like, you're not even good enough to get, like, these dummies to overrate you. Like, just people aren't even overrating you. Wow.
I think it's just an inside joke. And it is kind of funny, right? Like, that there's some person out there, especially the whoever voted UT number one in the coaches poll, unless it was Nick Saban, which does seem like it's on brand.
Oh, chestnut checkers.
But it would be so funny if it was just someone trolling.
We do have a leading suspect in that, by the way.
We do.
It's former Texas running backs coach and current Temple Owls head coach. I think it's Stan Drayton.
Because
everyone,
typical Stan.
Everyone looked at, like, well, does Sarkisian have a vote? Who has a vote? And then, like, that's the one where with the easiest Texas tie, where he was the running backs coach last year.
So you think he wants to beef up the school that he just left?
Yeah, he's throwing a bone to his former colleague.
Right, because he wouldn't be at Temple if he wasn't part of that winning UT tradition.
Being a running backs coach is the only way you would get promoted. Being involved in last year's Texas team.
Longhorn fans are built different. Do you remember when everybody was trying to figure out Urban Meyer's curtain situation, and it was UT fans on Reddit?
Yes, and the curtains in, like, a Zoom call that he was – or, like, he was on some Zoom, like, on Coward or something. And, yeah, they looked at the curtains and
then looked at
Austin hotel rooms that have the same curtains, and they found out he was staying in Austin.
Now, I make fun of that, but did I run that on my sportscast on a slow day? You betcha. Let's play a little preseason big deal or no big deal, guys, around the NFL. Jordan Love, 3 interceptions.
Oh,
he did not look good.
He had 3?
This was a poor performance.
I didn't know he had 3 interceptions.
So do we? So no big deal, just the preseason, or big deal?
Well, it's no big deal because Jordan Love's never going to play. Like, they fixed the Rodgers situation, where Rodgers was playing poor for a couple of years, and it did make sense to draft a guy. And now Rodgers is back. He's invested. He is under contract. He is happy. He's doing ayahuasca. You know?
He is doing ayahuasca.
So, but God, that's awful. I wonder if Jordan Love ever gets a true opportunity to start as a quarterback in the league.
What's their backup plan for when Aaron Rodgers, you
it won't
just
be
said
him.
It. Eventually, Aaron Rodgers is going to retire.
But he's not that.
Are
he's
they
going to
draft a stud?
They'll try, I guess. That's what they were doing when they drafted Jordan Love in the first place. But yeah, man, that is looking like a very bad pick right now.
The Bengals invested a lot in their offensive line. If y'all remember when we had Ed Ogeron on our show, he said that had to be priority number one to protect Joe Burrow. Now, Joe Burrow didn't play. It was backup quarterback Brandon Allen. But the new and revamped offensive line didn't make much of a difference. Jackson Carman, Teddy Karras, Lyle Collins. There are a lot of guys that have been there. And then a lot of, it's like 3 major additions. And they just didn't look up to par. Big deal or no big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal because I think offensive lines take time to gel, and it's really tricky this time of year where you don't have these guys really going 100% at each other in practice, and then all of a sudden you're just throwing them out there for a couple of series in a preseason game and hoping that everything kind of comes together. Offensive lines that have a lot of headline names doesn't necessarily always work out. Like, it's not
Laramie Tunsil.
Right. You want to develop some sort of continuity, and generally the offensive lines that have worked together for a while are the ones that do the best. And I mean, I think in 2011, the Texans offensive line, which had Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers,
Love
Mike Brysel, and Eric Winston at right tackle, like, that line was awesome. And they knew exactly what they were doing, but it took time for them to get to that point. And then, you know, a couple of guys leave. I think Brysel got a job with the Raiders, and Eric Winston left too. I think he went to Cincinnati. And it kind of goes away from being the same thing. And so I think, though, that the good thing that the Bengals can look at is, look, we just have talent on that offensive line. It just needs to be slightly better than it was last year for it to be a success. And for it to be a long-term success, they also just need to find a way to make Joe Burrow
not die.
Yeah, not die, and hopefully they have the whole part of paying him covered since they finally renamed the stadium. All right, big deal or no big deal? Can Texans fans be excited about Damon Pierce? It's been a while since we've had a young weapon that we've really seen in action.
Yeah, he looked good. He's looked good all training camp, too. I like to have my eyes confirmed, and everyone else has been saying the same thing about Pierce. Whenever Pierce gets the ball at training camp practices, he's been explosive. I love very quick with the acceleration, and he's just been the most fun person to watch out there, I think, on a routine basis. So to see him actually show that, he had a 20-yard run, that was really nice to see. And I wonder how many opportunities he will get this season. It's always an uphill battle to get on the field if you're a rookie running back, especially if you're in a room that has a guy like Rex Burkhead, who the Texans seem to love.
They love.
I mean, every
big one of Rex Burkhead fans.
Teammates constantly are praising him like out of nowhere. And Marlon Mack, too, is somebody who has been a bell cow in the past.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there's a new member of the Texans family, and it's not going to be somebody that you would expect. We talk about their new partnership coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I did not have the Texans collaborating with 50 Cent on my bingo card, but that is exactly what's happening today. They announced a multi-year partnership with 50 Cent,
Fitty.
His premium wine and spirits company, which is called Sire Spirits LLC, and his charitable arm, the G-Unity Foundation. So Jackson is going to, 50 Cent is going to appear on a lot of the Texans' branding. Call him Jackson.
Mr. Jackson
is
a rapper.
Bars on the club level of NRG Stadium, digital advertisements, sponsorships, and then his alcohol becomes the official cognac and champagne.
Cognac,
thank you. Whoa. Of the Texans.
Vanessa's really like in just absolute a tip-top shape.
Yep.
With the air conditioning going on here.
I'm dead.
Little flight. Jet lag going on too.
I didn't expect this partnership. I gotta say though, 50 Cent was in the owner's box a couple of times last year.
Is 50 Cent ours?
Oh, like Houston?
Is he now Houston's?
He's wearing a lot of Astros gear.
I mean, he seems to have embraced Houston quite a bit, very quickly. I have no idea where he is originally from. I'm assuming it's not from here.
He's from Queens, New York.
He's from where?
Queens, New York.
So he's an East Coast rapper.
Yes.
But yet he's living in Sugarland.
Well,
I wonder
the
what
land.
The thought process was. I mean, seriously, was it taxes? What was it? Just very random.
You could say taxes. You could say ridiculous governors. You could bring up a lot of things.
True.
So
being more restrictive during the pandemic. I don't know.
So from May 4th, 2021, he says, he tweeted, "I love New York, but I live in Houston now. I'll explain later. Green light gang."
But he hasn't explained yet?
He had to know.
This is the first thing that popped up.
He had to know that this partnership was coming because he's not just sitting with Cal and Hannah McNair in the suite last year with Andre Johnson, right?
He made this.
This has been cooking. This has been cooking.
Yeah, 50 Cent.
All right, but we're happy
Houston
to have
now.
You. Hey, when it comes to that alcohol, damn, baby, all I need is a little bit. Am I right?
Todd says all his right. TV show is filmed here.
Didn't even, not going to lie.
Didn't know he had a TV show.
Didn't know he had a TV show.
Power. Raising
Kanan. Oh, it's called Power.
Yes.
Okay, I think I've heard of Power, actually.
Wait, it takes place in Houston?
It doesn't. I don't think it takes place in Houston. It gets shot in Houston.
Oh.
So maybe you're right about it, it being cheaper.
Yeah, it must be.
Guys, one of the most riveting reality shows on the internet has come to an end, it seems.
Oh, no.
Life of Lotto. Lonnie Johnson Jr. has been cut from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that doesn't mean the show stops.
So you think that they're going to do an episode about him being cut?
I mean, this is a big, important episode.
They do the same thing on Hard Knocks.
Yeah. And I want to hear it. Look, I feel bad. I mean, the guy didn't seem like he was a bad guy by any means, but he's definitely one of many just complete whiffs that the Texans have made in the draft over the last couple of years.
He did tweet out, "We have heard from Lotto. Are you all ready to hear the official statement?"
I am.
"God has not forgotten you. You will bounce back from every setback and negative situation you are experiencing. Your story has already been written. Your final scene has been shot. You don't end in failure. You end in victory. Nice, positive, uplifting.
Hmm. Well, okay. He asked for a trade, so that also is pretty interesting.
He asked for a trade from the Texans. That's right.
Seventh round pick in 2024. I feel like he's got to strike while the iron's hot. As someone who has been let go from a job or two, what you do is you create content immediately. You don't sit back and do nothing and wallow in despair, drink a lot, or be depressed.
Did you create content immediately?
No, I didn't. Either time.
No, didn't you make the Laramie Tunsil song?
Yeah, but that took like 3 months to get back out on the grind. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you gotta keep making content.
So why did you stop making content?
Well, I was
depressed.
It's easy to give the advice. It's harder to do
take
right.
It.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You gotta make the content now. Like, it's gotta be a good episode.
This is where he pivots. This is where he goes from Lonnie Johnson, failed Houston Texans cornerback, to Lonnie Johnson, YouTube sensation.
Yeah, it's possible.
I Longer. Tried to watch the show, guys. I really did.
If he fights a Paul brother, I think that he can bring the show to prominence.
Here's my thing.
But he needs to fight a Paul brother and win.
I always liked what J.J. Watt said about keep the main thing the main thing. So he would always tell his guys, like, don't do endorsements until you're really good at football.
Unless they're playing Fort Minor in the background and you're flipping a tire.
Don't, like,
in your rustic cabin.
The work always comes first. My issue with Lonnie and other guys nowadays, and this is major get off my lawn type stuff, but you need to not be getting cut from NFL teams while you have your own YouTube series about yourself. Fair?
Yeah, but at the same time, now he's an everyman. Just like everyone who has a podcast, he also has a YouTube channel.
Do you have a podcast?
I do. But
I've listened to it a couple times.
Sometimes I do it, and then sometimes. Most of the time I don't.
It happens.
Pay me.
Gotta make content, Paul.
Yeah, you have to keep making content.
You gotta keep making content, you guys. Don't be me. Don't be a has-been 33-year-old loser. Don't be me. No, be Life of Lotto. You have to fight Jake Paul, I'm telling you. Or Logan Paul. Is that the other guy's name?
Which fight from this weekend in Vegas, that one of the three fights, in case you missed it earlier, Paul and I got back from Vegas. He almost got in three fights on Saturday.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the actual UFC fights
which
I was like,
fight
whoa, I didn't see any.
Do you know you would have won? Because I think you would have, the guy at the bar, I think you would have won. He was short. He had the backwards hat. Looked like an F-boy.
Well, I mean, I don't want to answer this.
Was she a big girl?
No, she wasn't. No.
Okay,
no.
So you definitely would have
beat
the girl.
But no, but you can't. I can't. I can't entertain.
No, you wouldn't do.
Yeah,
that.
No,
I can't entertain them.
No, like Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt. You would.
Yeah. The really dark answer is the obvious one. Is like, well, who would Paul have beaten in a fight?
They
between
also
two
won their
women.
Fight. Ray Rice won his fight.
Oh my God, Jesus.
Michael Vick did too.
Two men and one woman. Yeah. The guy that I wrote in as a white knight, that guy is the one where I wonder about, because I don't know.
He had an evil look in his eye. Like, I'm actually not exaggerating. Like, you might have actually saved that girl.
He was licking her neck.
Yeah.
And he just got in the bar, too.
There was a lot of licking going on.
It was, like, really weird. And you could tell she was, like, making a look. And I felt bad. I wish she had known to, like, just say, like, hey, dude, stop. And she definitely did not feel comfortable saying that.
You know what? I'm confident you would have won all three, for what it's worth.
It's been such a long time. And I mean, the last time I got in a fight, I got punched in the face playing pickup basketball. And I was like, I'm never getting in a fight again.
There you go. At least you're self-aware.
Well,
all right.
That whole time, I was just looking straight ahead. And he kept on trying to re-engage. I'm like looking straight ahead. Because I know me. I know I was going to say
Vegas?
Something sarcastic. Yes.
Yes.
The guy who got mad at me for getting in front of him in line at a bar, which doesn't
actually
exist.
Paul was mumbling after his breath, and I was like, it's about to go down.
Yeah, I'm just looking straight ahead. I was trying not to make eye contact, because I thought of a bunch of funny things to say that would have turned the situation way worse, because he would not have taken them as funny. Yeah, I'm just glad.
Shout out to Paul for getting out of Vegas
alive. I don't
want to
fight people. I don't. Just a
all right, it's time for our segment we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Proud of you. Proud of you for keeping. I almost stole shoes, by the way. There was a bachelorette that left a really nice pair of white shoes.
What
at the bar.
Happened there? Yes.
I don't know. I almost took them, though.
There was just a pair of white shoes in the middle of the dance floor, and it was like, did someone
just died? Should we go around with these shoes and try to fit them on random people's feet? Like, more ratchet Cinderella?
It's very Cinderella type-ish. But if they would have been like Jimmy Choo's or designer, those things would have come home with me. Nice shoes.
Jimmy Choo's?
Yeah.
What are they, like the Jordans of heels?
Sure, yeah. Louboutins. You could go with
Louboutins? Isn't it Louis Vuitton?
No, that's Louis Vuitton. It's different. Louboutins are shoes. Louis Vuitton
it's
is
like a cognac.
Type of... Yeah, that was bad. Lane Kiffin, who is one of the most entertaining follows on Twitter, Ole Miss was lacking depth at the punter position, so he and his staff went to Fraternity Row to see if any of the guys on campus could kick a football.
Yeah, it was to go to see if anyone on campus could kick a field goal. It had nothing to do with Lane Kiffin wanting to check out the talent.
The talent. Quote unquote talent.
Freshwater, my bad. That's a totally different guy.
They did find Charlie Pollock, who ended up joining the team because he can punt. So there you go.
Okay. That's nice. That's always good to see. Somebody who who hasn't wanted to see the story of the frat kid who's never, you know, had it easy in life, who goes from being, you know, the insufferable person taking your shirt off at a party to being like the kicker of a football team.
He was with Nevada out of high school as a punter.
Hmm.
He was number 13 in the nation, but he didn't end up getting any playing time, so he transferred to Ole Miss.
Oh, quitter.
As just a regular student, so he didn't want to punt again.
I was going to say, this is like the blind side, but...
but with a punter.
Yeah, but with a punter, also at Ole Miss. But it's less inspirational of a tale, I'll say.
True.
Much less.
WNBA player Liz Cambage announced she'll be stepping away from the WNBA, quote, for the time being.
Big news.
Cambage said she'll be taking time to focus on her, quote, healing and personal growth. I'm sorry. I need to heal and grow personally, too, but I don't just quit my job. What is up with this?
Is she done playing it completely?
No. She's just taking time away. Yes.
Well, mental health's a serious thing, and you can't comment on somebody else's mental health. I thought we've established that by now.
Oh. I believe fat slob was the term fat slob.
But it was accurate, and I was telling the truth.
It's an eating disorder, Paul.
True. He should have taken some time away from his job for his mental health.
His eating disorder was double dipping, though.
You're right. That was the problem. Ah, man. It's something that you can't comment on. If you're leaving for mental health reasons, you're leaving for family reasons. Like, people are not allowed to ask follow-up questions about it.
I know.
I get why, but... the skeptical journalist inside me is always like, I want to know what's really going on here.
I wish her happy healing. The reason I'm mentioning this is because this is not the first story we're seeing like this.
Yeah,
there are a lot of athletes doing this.
And I think she got kicked off the Australian Olympic team or World Cup team. Because
she's an Australian. Yeah they can't help themselves.
Well, that. Yeah, right. She was going after teammates. And then in a scrimmage with Team Nigeria, she was calling the Nigerian girls names and stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of crazy.
Okay.
Whoa. This story made me very angry.
It did.
NPR. Authorities in Norway have euthanized a walrus that had drawn crowds of spectators in the Oslo Freud after concluding that it posed a risk to humans. So you euthanize a walrus in the wild because it's a threat to humans? I'm sorry, humans. Stay away. Stop messing with animals and fish in the wild.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Walruses are big, big freaking things.
She's massive. So she was known as Freya and became a really big attention getter. Like, people would take their pictures with her. And so authorities started telling people, don't take your pictures with this walrus. It's dangerous. They kept doing it. So they euthanized the walrus?
The walrus had to have
euthanized
someone.
The people. I don't care if she did. Freya is in her environment.
The walrus must have attacked someone. That's the only thing I can think
of. She was 1,300 pounds.
Yeah. They're massive. Those things are absolutely massive. There's this really sad video online of a bunch of walruses that were on a cliff. And like global warming, I guess. This was a global warming PSA. And they all just fall off the cliff. It's absolutely horrible.
It's the same
I haven't gotten it out of my head.
Well, when people are surprised because one of the whales or an animal at a zoo acts up, I'm like, yeah, really? Taking an animal out of its natural environment and caging it up?
Yeah.
Obviously.
It wasn't Harambe's fault either.
No.
Or Sweet Prince.
R.I.P. I feel like an animal in this heat. So we're going to get out of here. Coming up next, we have the Killer Bees. Joel and Jeremy are going to be with you from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.